This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our special guest this week, Dr. Robert Horton. Dr. Horton is a professor of agronomy at Iowa State University. He's been sharing with us all week his amazing story of how the Lord brought him from a place of being a nominal Catholic, totally focused on his own career and his own decisions, dealing with tremendous crises and challenge in his life. And out of that hardship and that brokenness, the Lord brought him into a new place, a new relationship with him that included really helping him pursue not only holiness, but mission in his life and discovering, just as an ordinary Catholic, an ordinary follower of Jesus, the amazing thing that Jesus wants to do with us when we give him permission. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be
here. Yeah, welcome back. So you ended the story with a story yesterday. You were in Russia and you were praying over this man who was an atheist and an unbeliever who had a bad back, terrible back problems, chronic. And you prayed over him and he actually got healed and he was raising his hands and giving thanks to God. What happened to him? And I know you had to go back home. You left a Bible with him. Well, how'd that all turn out?
Well, the next year, his wife visited Iowa State University to work with her collaborator. And she told me that his back pain was healed. He didn't have any more back pain. And that he read the Bible and that he became a believer. He said, the Bible contains the words of life. So he also was baptized and became a practicing believer. And it was beautiful. And then the following year, I went back to Russia. And when I was back in Russia, they invited me to their home again for supper. We remembered, you know, together and praised God together for what happened. And his mom was living with them, his mother. And she had some health issues. And his teenage daughter asked me to pray for her grandmother. And so we together, the husband, the wife, the daughter, and I all laid hands on the mother who had now become a believer. She was the one that taught her son, there is no God. But now she too was a believer.
Wow.
And so we just all praised God together. And I saw again that God's grace, you know, through these graces of healing prayers and compassion and reaching out, God wants not just to remove, you know, have people feel well, remove a problem, but he wants to call them to a commitment to him. And I started to see that happening. Another way that this started happening for me was we had a Chinese graduate student in our department at Iowa State University, and I was walking down the hallway one day, and this Chinese graduate student just looked sad and depressed. And I stopped him in the hallway, and I asked him, you know, what's wrong? Because he was usually an upbeat guy. And he told me that he was really afraid for what was going on in China. This was 1989, and the Tiananmen Square incident was going on in China. And we didn't know which direction it was going to go. He was afraid for his family, for his friends, their safety, and he was afraid for the country. And I said to him, we should pray for China. But he didn't know what pray meant. He told me he didn't know how to pray, and he didn't believe in God. And I said, I know how to pray. So we got to a private place together, and I asked him if he would do a repeat after me prayer, an honest prayer. And he said yes. So we just had a little prayer. Jesus, if you are real, please come into my heart because my heart is troubled. And he kind of repeated those words. And then we prayed, Jesus, if you are real, please come to China and help. Really simple prayer. I had my eyes closed and I opened my eyes and I saw that he was crying. And I asked him, why are you crying? And he said to me that when he had prayed and asked Jesus to come to his heart, he felt the burning love of God fill his heart. And he was crying tears of joy at that moment. I was amazed when he said that to me. And this man had never heard the gospel. He didn't have any Christian background at all. And so I said, would you like to have a Bible study? And he said, yes. So once a week, just in our agronomy building at Iowa State University. We got to a room. He and I started out that way, and we just started reading it. And I chose Mark's Gospel because it was the shortest, and I knew this student was, you know, near the end of his program. Wasn't going to be there so long. So we read that Gospel, and we read some more, and I tried my best to give explanations. He had hard questions for me. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there war? You know, all the kind of, you know, questions that, you know, you can give some answers, but it, you know, not always exact kind of exact science kind of answers. I did my best. We always prayed, and he became a believer and joined the Christian community. And I thought, wow, we have more and more Chinese students and visitors coming, so I'll just keep this Bible study going. So since 1989 till today, that Bible study, we still meet once a week. I have two of the Chinese students in it now are in the they just started the RCIA program at St. Thomas Parish to explore, you know, joining the Catholic Church. And it's just through the years, just a number. I've seen it be, you know, kind of the question, is God real? And then if the answer is yes, then it's kind of, is Jesus Christ the Son of God? If the answer is yes, should I get baptized, you know, or keep a private faith? Should I believe, or, you know, it's just kind of like different stages.
Yeah.
And so it's just awesome to see the grace of God and these opportunities to talk about the scriptures and to share experiences and to pray for people.
It's interesting, Bob. The core of your story is really discovering what it means to be a disciple of, you know, Pope John Paul II had this line. He said, "The time it's necessary now to awaken in believers a full relationship with Jesus Christ, mankind's only Savior." He said, without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing what that means, a new evangelization will never take place. And there was a way in which you really did encounter the Lord in a new way in your life, being very personal and present to you in the midst of you really being in that dark place that you were in at one point in your life because of the tragedies and the death of your daughter and your wife leaving you and things like that. But Jesus found you right there, and he forgave you, he loved you, and then he unfolded a mission for you that's tied to your vocation and tied to your life and all that. We only have about 6 minutes left in the program today, and I want to make sure I don't forget to ask you, because people will ask me, what happened with your wife and your relationship and all that?
She closed the doors, and yeah, she remarried the person that was the father of the baby that she was carrying when she left, and so those doors were closed. So I had some difficult, challenging, but beautiful years with my three daughters. We had just beautiful time together as I shifted. You know, they weren't immediately ready for the shifting, but we worked through that and just had lots of beautiful times together at home and traveling and talking, enjoying the Lord together. And after some years, I asked the church to, you know, evaluate my first marriage, and they very quickly came back and said that it was annulled because of the circumstances around how we got married. And they said I was free to remarry. So after some more years, there had been a woman that I had met in our prayer group. We were friends. We did activities together, vacation Bible school together, and other things, and we decided to get married. So after about 10 years after my first wife had left, I remarried, and the Lord blessed us with three children. We have a son now who's in Benedictine College in Kansas, and two teenage daughters at home. And I want to say my wife, Nanette, and I are of one mind on our priority on God. And we have studied, and we try to encourage this vision of the family as a domestic church. And we are leaders for pre-Cana, for marriage preparation activities, and it's a beautiful family life. You know, when you live it right in the Lord, it's a beautiful family life in marriage, not without struggles, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's a beauty in your commitment to the Lord and your right priorities. You know, you have the opportunity for unity and blessing on that. So that's how my life is now. if you give me a few minutes, I want to go back to this China to say one more thing.
Okay.
That in this Bible study, some of the students there graduated and went back to China, and they had experienced God's grace. And then they started to invite me to go to China. So for the last 20 years, basically every year, I've gone to China to work on soil and water science in the daytime with their graduate students and colleagues there, and in the evening to have Bible studies, to share about faith in God, and to pray. And it's just been amazing the opportunities that we've had. And my family has gone with me, my wife, on two sabbaticals for half years. And just the ability to share in the science community about the gospel and to watch people respond to God has been amazing.
Now, you've had opportunity to speak and to pray with so many professors from China, you know,
yes.
people who were raised atheists, and they really want to ask the question, how can you as a scientist, as a world-class scientist, put reason and faith together? What do you tell them?
I've tried to study a little bit from apologists, and I've studied Peter Kraft in particular, you know, has written things on reasons to believe in God. And I have like a whole list of these things written out that I go over. But honestly, those reasons, I haven't seen a lot of conversions. It's through loving people, giving that witness, giving the truth of the gospel, but also praying for people and asking the Holy Spirit to show them that he's real. That's really been effective.
Because they open their hearts, because it's not just a head, it's not just an argument, you know, it's kind of a logical thing going on in the mind, but they actually open their heart.
Right.
And when they open their heart to God, the Lord does something.
That's right.
He reveals himself.
Yeah, and there's always issues with graduate students, you know, fears about the future, about jobs, or health of parents, or relationship types of things. There's always something to pray about, and it's amazing the receptiveness of people if you pray for them. And if you do it in a humble, gentle, loving way, not a power or proving something, but just out of love and asking God to show his love and to manifest, God really honors and responds to that prayer. And people will have an experience, even before they have great knowledge, they can have an experience of God's love that would give them interested to study and learn some more.
And that's so much the life of the Acts of the Apostles, too. Dr. Bob, thanks for being with us this week. It's really been a joy. It's been a joy working with you all these years, and you've always inspired me, and it's an honor to have you on the program. So God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Friends, you know, in his first letter to all of us, Pope Francis in Evangelii Gaudium has a paragraph where he said that every baptized person has a kind of response, a daily preaching as a responsibility in our life. And I read it, and I thought, what do you mean exactly? And how do you understand that? And he goes on to say, in the normal course of life, meeting somebody, having a conversation on a bus, you know, talking to a colleague in need, he said, these are moments where the Lord is present, and right there he wants to use you to communicate his love. And he even says to share a word from Scripture, to extend a hand and pray for somebody, because God will touch them and use them. And that's exactly what Bob is showing us here today. I just wanted to have him on the program so you know you too are called and empowered by the Lord to communicate that love. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.